With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I'm joined by the number two overall ranker from Week 9, Mike Taglier. You can find both of us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Taglier NFL Tags. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going good. It felt good to hear that. I mean, but you, what you don't want to hear, though, is that I'm a sick person. I hit on Spotify today, and for whatever reason, a Christmas song came on. It was by accident, complete accident, but I liked it enough to kind of go back to Christmas music. So I probably turned on Christmas music like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks too early, but it put me in a good mood. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, we've got the house already decorated. So we've got the Christmas tree up. We've got the lights out on the house. So it felt a little weird putting Christmas music on when it was 70 degrees outside, but the weather's dipped back down. So I think it's okay to put it on now. But hey, we are joined today by Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports. He can be found on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, thanks for coming on, man.
It's good with the Christmas stuff before you bring on the Jewish guy, so I appreciate that. But thank you for having me on. It's always fun to talk to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking before we started recording that we are all kind of at that point where we're pretty tired, but I think we've got enough energy to get through a start-sit episode here today, guys, and make sure that you guys are prepared for your Week 10 matchups. Before we get into some news items and our starts and sits of the week, I want to remind everyone about our start-sit assistant. With this feature, you can get an instant recommendation on the best lineup for this week. You can view the percentage of experts who would start each player on your roster. You can edit and set your lineup for any league directly from within My Playbook. And if you have multiple leagues, you can even view and modify lineups for all of your synced leagues in one place with our multi-league mode and submit your lineups to the respective league hosts with just a couple of clicks. Play your best possible lineup and win your week by using the Start Sit Assistant at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. All right, guys, a few news items here. Actually, some pretty good news, which I think we could all use in the year 2020. Kenyon Drake returned to practice today. Miles Sanders also returned to practice today. Nick Chubb has a really good chance of returning this weekend against Houston, and we'll make sure to keep you guys updated as we learn more news there. This is the little bit of a bad news here. Christian McCaffrey is out for this week with a banged up shoulder. He's currently getting a second opinion on it, which I feel like is never a good sign. So, Tags, with Christian McCaffrey, he's listed as week to week right now. Is that kind of where we still need to be anticipating, or is there actually a possibility that we might lose Christian McCaffrey for the year?
I mean, obviously Carolina is not going anywhere. And has he been ruled out already? I know they said he's not expected to play. It seems like Rappaport and Schefter are reporting that. So, I mean, that usually means he's not going to. They have their bye week looming in week 13. So unfortunately, like, if you're a team that's fighting to make the playoffs and you're short at the running back position, I don't think you could plan on having Christian McCaffrey before the playoffs.
Yeah, which sucks because we were all super excited to have him back this past week, and we saw what he can do. He stepped right back into that lead back role. Make sure that Mike Davis is somehow not sitting out on your waiver wire. Mark Ingram is getting closer to returning and could potentially be back for this next game against New England. Jamie, this is kind of just one of the situations where it's like having Mark Ingram actually provided a little bit of clarity for us. So with him coming back, are you looking at any of these running backs this week?
No, I don't think you can with any semblance of confidence. You know, I would hope that the Ravens, you know, don't go back to what it was before Mark Ingram got hurt and make him the lead guy. I would still like to see a lot more of J.K. Dobbins because of what the upside could be, and I'm sure the Ravens would like to see what the upside could be for J.K. Dobbins. So it's going to be a three-headed backfield. It's probably one you want to avoid, but you know, I still think that puts Dobbins as a flex play, just you know, with a game that they should win, and you know, he gets maybe some garbage time run.
Absolutely. Joe Mixon is doing individual drills today, or he did individual drills today, but won't practice with the team. We'll obviously continue to monitor that situation as we move forward throughout the week. He got in a limited practice. We'll have to see what his sessions are on Thursday and Friday, but just don't drop Giovanni Bernard. Don't move on from him. You know, just kind of keep him in the ready if Joe Mixon isn't able to go for this game. And finally here, guys, head coach Anthony Lynn says that Justin Jackson will rest this week, and it doesn't sound like he's going to suit up this Sunday. Again, we'll continue to monitor that situation, though, as the week progresses. So a lot of news that we just really don't have any clarity on yet, but I wanted to make sure that fantasy managers were aware that a lot of players are returning to practice, the guys that we need of Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders, and Nick Chubb, but then that we have some other situations that are worth continuing to monitor. Okay, let's move into the starts of the week, guys. Let's just continue. Let's get right into this conversation. We're looking, like we do every single week, we're looking at our ECR, Expert Consensus Ranking, which takes all the rankings of experts across the industry, puts them together, gives you an average. And we're looking at, right now, players outside the top 20 at the running back position that we're saying, hey, if you have these guys, it might be worth starting them this week. Let's go to tags first, and then I'll go, and then we can go to Jamie. Who are you saying is a running back tags that people should consider starting this week?
Guys outside the top 20, it's difficult to find running backs there that you feel really, really confident about. And I'm not going to abuse the system because David Johnson's ranked 28th right now, but I'm assuming that's because some people aren't ranking him because of the concussion. And I expect him to get cleared and play this game. He would be the running back I would bring up, but I'll stick with somebody that's outside that range that is healthy. It's Philip Lindsay against the Raiders. The Raiders are a team that there've already been 11 running backs who have finished as a top 30 running back against them, and they've only played 8 games. They have gotten better since the beginning of the year when they allowed, I think it was 3 straight top 2 performances to running backs. But they seemingly got better, and then all of a sudden last week they reverted back to the same old defense that they were. They're not getting pressure, so they're forced to drop back extra guys in coverage. They're not stopping the run. Kalen Ballage came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he has a big game last week, scoring, I think he finished as the number 4 fantasy running back last week. So Philip Lindsay is someone that I would consider because it seems like they want him to be the primary ball carrier now, whereas Melvin Gordon is more of like the third down back. He's mixing in on first and second downs, but I don't know. Something seems fishy. I don't know if the team is just preparing to be without Melvin Gordon because of that 3-game suspension that's looming, but Philip Lindsay, if you're teetering with him this week, I think that he's going to be worth the play.
What are your expectations with Lindsay? Because I was writing up this game earlier for my article, and I was saying, like, this is a mess of a backfield right now with the way that the splits are. It's essentially an even split, and Philip Lindsay actually saw more targets than Melvin Gordon last week. So, like, what are your expectations here with Philip Lindsay? Where exactly do you have him ranked right now?
I have him ranked at 26, so it's not that I feel great about him, but I think that he is a competent floor play because I don't see the Raiders just running away with this game. You can't run the ball consistently on them, and if the Raiders can't run the ball, it's not like they're going to air it out and throw the ball 45, 50 times. They're just not the team that does that like the Chiefs would or anything like that. So this should be a somewhat closely contested game. If game script doesn't get out of hand, the Broncos aren't a team that wants to air the ball out either. So they're allowing the 6th most yards per carry, 4.71 on the season. So, I mean, Lindsay, if you want to go out there and expect, you know, 60 to 80 yards with a shot at a touchdown, I think he's fair for that.
Yeah, the matchup is great. It's just a concern of, okay, what's his workload going to be like? But I don't hate the call. My guy that I'm going to bring up here is JD McKissick. I talked about him on the Waiver Wire podcast. He's RB27 in ECR right now. The Washington football team has a matchup here against the Detroit Lions. So it's a great matchup on the ground, which favors Antonio Gibson a little bit more. But I think that we're going to see with Alex Smith more willingness to dump off to the pass catching back out of the backfield, which is JD McKissick. Now, I'm not expecting 14 targets like what we saw last week, but I think that he brings you a safe enough floor that we can actually start to talk about him as a viable fantasy option week in and week out. RB27 in ECR right now, I have him at RB22. So again, this isn't someone who I'm saying, hey, he's a top 15 back, play him this week, plug him into your lineup with confidence. But again, looking outside that range of the top 20, I think that he's someone that you can plug into your lineup and you know that you're going to get a safe enough floor. And right now, I feel like I'd be perfectly happy with that, just plugging in a running back and knowing what I'm going to get. So, Jamie, what are your thoughts here with JD McKissick? Is he someone that you're actually considering for fantasy football lineups this week? Or are you saying, I'll let someone else play him?
No, I think you have to consider it. I mean, you know, we've seen I think it's what, like five of his last six or four of his last five with at least six catches. The targets have been there. You mentioned Alex Smith, and he's not moving. So he's a statue back there. We like statues for pass-catching running backs because they just want to get the ball out of their hands. So, you know, half PPR, non-PPR, he's not as great as obviously full PPR because he's not going to do a lot on the ground, and the touchdown potential is not there for him. But, you know, anything that you're going to get from him in the passing game is clearly a bonus. And you saw with Alex Smith for the majority game last week, you know, nine catches. So that's hard to overlook, and Detroit just gives production upon production to opposing running backs. So it should be a Gibson game. You know, that's the hope for everybody that's counting on him and, you know, dealing with some of his up and down season so far. But he also didn't practice on Wednesday, so that's something to keep an eye on. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. So for whatever reason he doesn't play, then McKissick's value shoots through the roof. So I like that call a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a situation worth monitoring, too, with Antonio Gibson. Let's turn it right back to you, Jamie. Who is a running back outside the top 20 that you have your eye on this week?
I have no idea what the Miami Dolphins are going to do at running back this week. But I think if you're desperate, you know, Salvin Ahmed is somebody that I'd keep an eye on if he's sitting out there on waivers. And we're talking, you know, 14-team league, 16-team league, you know, deep dynasty type of league, just to see what happens there. Because if Matt Breida's out again and they don't decide that they want to give DeAndre Washington any sort of workload, now that he's eligible to play with the Dolphins, you know what Jordan Howard is. He's going to get probably in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 carries. Most of them will come near the goal line. So he'll have his usual, you know, 1.8 yards per rush, and he'll probably fall into the end zone. You know, but we saw last week that the first game without Myles Gaskin and no Breida there, that Ahmed played the most. He had seven carries, 28 yards rushing, I think it was. And that may be something that they look at and say, okay, we'll go back to him again and maybe give him more work. And this is a Dolphins team, as we're all well aware. We thought, oh, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard, they added these guys this offseason. That's going to be their backfield. But they loved Myles Gaskin, and that's been their guy prior to him getting hurt. So they're not afraid to go with the no-named or under-the-radar type of guy. And this is a guy who's been on their team that they've been sort of grooming. You know, Chan Gailey probably likes him. It's a game, I think, that could get up and down in terms of a track meet with the score. So I think he's okay, you know, for a guy that you can just still find off the waiver wire and say, if I'm stuck, you know, maybe he's going to get the majority of the work again, and maybe the numbers start to tick up after what he did last week.
Do you think it's possible that DeAndre Washington might have more value? Because he was inactive last week. They traded for him, clearly showing that they actually like the player. They traded for him, and he couldn't play due to COVID. So when you transfer a team, or like if you guys don't know listening, you have to sit out an X amount of days. It's the reason that Le'Veon Bell couldn't play the first week that he signed with the Chiefs. So DeAndre Washington, is he someone that you would worry about stealing some of those touches?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, I have no idea what the Dolphins are going to do. It could be Washington. It could be Breida if he's healthy. You know, it's a total dart throw. But, you know, for somebody that you could find off the waiver wire in almost every league, because who's looking at a guy that just had the minimal production that he had, no catches. And it's, again, nothing that I would say he's a slam dunk. You have to play this guy. But if you're just looking at it from the standpoint of I'm stuck, I was hoping for Boston Scott because I was waiting for Miles Sanders, you know, to sit out for another week, or I was, you know, banking on this particular player, you know, J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards, and you're concerned about that now that all three guys are there. And if we get some semblance from one of the Dolphins beat writers that Ahmed is working with the first team offense again, or he's going to be the guy again, you know, just something that can give you a little nugget of hope. I do think that it would be more fun if it's DeAndre Washington because we've seen him before. You know, we've seen him produce last year when he got the chance with the Raiders. But I just based on the one game sample size that we have with this Dolphins roster without Breida and without Gaskin, he's somebody that if he's out there, I'd take a chance on.
Tags, you know that I'm like doing cartwheels over here because Savon Ahmed was someone who I had very, very high in my running back rankings heading into draft season. Obviously, the combine and his poor athletic testing caused that to come down just a little bit, but I love the player. And so for him to get the amount of carries and work that he did last week and actually look really, really good in the process was really, really exciting for me. So I love the call. I've actually got Savon Ahmed later on in this show too that I was going to bring up. So I love the call there, Jamie. We're going to pause the podcast for a second to thank today's sponsor, Pristine Auction. It's time to start thinking about Christmas gifts, and there's no better place to go than Pristine Auction. They have daily auctions ending nightly with hundreds of items, and there's always something perfect for a fan of any team. They guarantee authenticity, and all items come with authentication from only the most trusted sources. Here's the thing, though, about Pristine Auction. It's insanely affordable. I went back and looked at some recent items that were sold on Pristine Auction, and I just couldn't believe this. A Jerry Jeudy signed Alabama jersey went for only $45. And as a Bears fan, this one was amazing. A Devin Hester signed Bears 100th anniversary speed mini helmet went for only $53. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's pristineauction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Let's go over to the wide receiver position here, guys. Tags, will go to you first. We're looking at guys outside the top 30 in ECR that we're saying start them if you've got them. Who are you going with?
I am going to go with Jarvis Landry here. Landry's someone that people are a little worried off of because he started the year slow. He was coming off the hip surgery in the offseason. He was dealing with some injuries throughout the year, and he reportedly still is playing through some sort of rib injury or something like that. But in the first game without Odell Beckham there, he saw 11 targets. You know, the results weren't great. 4 catches, 52 yards, but that game had 50-plus mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Right.
So it was just a poor game all around. If you look at the passing stats from that game, it was ridiculous. But Landry is one of just two wide receivers in the NFL who has seen 50-plus targets without a touchdown. A.J. Green's the other one. So we have positive touchdown regression coming his way. Targets are a big deal against the Texans because they have allowed the third most fantasy points per target to wide receivers. Receivers have caught a massive 71.3% of passes attempted. Bradley Roby, even if he does play in this game, Roby doesn't play in the slot, so he escapes that matchup. So there's really not much to worry about here with Jarvis Landry, and I have him ranked as a top 26 wide. I have the number 26 wide receiver this week, so I like him quite a bit.
You stole my thunder, because that's a guy that I was going to bring up, because you're looking at the matchup here against Houston. I love the opportunity. And yes, we can look at with Nick Chubb coming back and Kareem Hunt now, you know, in the fold as that complimentary piece. They're both going to have big roles in this one if Nick Chubb doesn't need to come back. And you could expect Cleveland to just run the ball. But yet, what does that do? It opens up passing lanes. And in a matchup here against Houston, I think that Landry is going to be one of the main targets. So I'm not as bullish as you. I have him at 31, but still as in that same range as someone who you can absolutely plug into your lineup, because I know that people are going to have questions about Jarvis Landry. He's wide receiver 37 in ECR right now. So even the experts are saying this is someone outside the top 36. Both of us are saying, hey, get him into your lineup if you got him, because I think that you can lean into the volume and the talent level too. So, Jamie, what do you think here on Jarvis Landry? Because obviously Tags and I agree. Do you like Jarvis Landry this week?
In that same range, 100%. You know, it's a good week for wide receivers, so I don't know if he's a must-start guy. And look, he's been injured all season. The hip, the ribs, it's been a problem for him. You have the volume for Baker Mayfield. That's a problem for him. You know, so anytime you have a quarterback that's going to be in the 27, 28 pass attempt range, and you have, obviously, prior to the last couple of weeks, and Odell Beckham, but now they're getting Hooper back, who I think is going to command targets. You know, I don't know how much they're going to go away from both Harrison Bryant and David Njoku. You know that Rashard Higgins is going to have a couple of targets as well, and then clearly the backs. It's all going to be predicated on how much they're running the ball and the success they're running the ball, because Kevin Stefanski, I'm sure in a perfect world, he saw what Kirk Cousins did 2 weeks ago with 14 pass attempts, and it's probably like, I miss those days. I miss not having to throw the ball, you know, around. But that's kind of been the MO for the Browns this season. So Landry's going to have to be hyper efficient like he has at times in his career. But, you know, the touchdowns have escaped him as well. But there's such a big opportunity. You have to throw out the Browns game before their bye week because how bad the win was against the Raiders.
And, mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that was the first game without Beckham entirely and no Hooper. So I'm hoping the Baker that we got in the Bengals game in week 7 when Beckham got hurt is the Baker we get coming off their bye week, where he's distributing targets evenly to a lot of different guys, and that Landry has the chance to be the top guy. Hopefully he's healthy as well. So I think he's a, you know, borderline number two, number three receiver. If you start three receivers in a flex and PPR or half PPR, it's hard to get away from this week.
Tags, we have a tool, the Who Should I Start tool, that allows you to compare up to 4 different players to see who the best start is, and it can be found at fantasypros.com/start. Mm-hmm. So I went to it, and I'm looking at some of the most popular searches here for Jarvis Landry. So I'm just going to throw a few names your way, and let me see which way you lean. So
sure.
Jarvis Landry, or coming off a huge game, Jacoby Myers.
Oh, Landry, for sure.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers getting the Baltimore matchup this week. Antonio Brown or Jarvis Landry this week?
I'll play Landry as well.
Jarvis Landry or Mike Williams?
I have Landry higher than Mike Williams. I'm Mike Williams took a big shot at the end of that game. It seems like he's going to be okay, but Miami on the perimeter has been pretty tough with wide receivers.
And then finally here, Jarvis Landry or Jerry Jeudy?
Ooh, that one's close. I have Jerry Jeudy actually 2 spots higher, so I do like Jeudy against the Raiders.
I do too. I have Jeudy just a little bit higher here. Okay, let's go over to Jamie. Who is your wide receiver that you got your eye on this week?
You know, I was waiting for your choice, so I'll just go with the ones I'm looking at. There's 3 based on the list that I'm looking at here, John Brown, Tim Patrick, and Brandon Ayuk. I can't believe they're ranked where they're ranked because I love all three of them this week. You know, Brown's not at practice on Wednesday, but that's probably just more of a maintenance thing for him. But I'll talk about Ayuk because he's coming off of his, you know, missing the game Thursday, and he was impressive in the two games prior to that. Clearly, the San Francisco entire team is a mess. And the last time he played, he had Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he's going to have Nick Mullins. It's a complete change, and no George Kittle as well. But they're going to be chasing points at New Orleans. I think that's probably safe to say. We don't know if Deebo Samuel is going to play, so he should still be the number one guy. Look what the number one guy did with Nick Mullins last week with Richie James against the Packers. And so I like what Ayuk was showing, you know, starting to live up to the hype of being a first-round pick. I like what he said coming off the Patriots game where he was like, I wasn't afraid of them. I don't think he has any concern about who he's facing. So if you have a Marshon Lattimore type of shadow coverage, which Lattimore was banged up in the game against Tampa Bay on Sunday night, you know, I don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy, but I think Ayuk steps right back into that number one role. I think he's going to lead the team in targets. I think, again, you know, garbage time will matter here for him, which we love in fantasy. So I love the setup for Brandon Ayuk, and the fact that Jerry Rice was just praising him this week is just an added bonus whenever you get that type of, you know, praise from the greatest receiver of all time.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the Richie James factor there with the number one receiver, and it's because, like, Ayuk and Richie James, from a talent perspective, not even on the same planet. Ayuk is an immensely more talented receiver, but you saw throughout that game how wide open Richie James was several different times, and it's just due to the scheme and the offensive play call that Richie James could be that wide open. So if Ayuk gets that sort of treatment, if he gets plugged into that role, which we fully expect him to, then he has immense you know, upside in this matchup. So I love the call. Again, I'm going to lean back into the fantasypros.com/start tool here with you, Jamie, and I'm going to throw a couple names your way. Let me know which side you prefer. DJ Moore or Brandon Ayuk?
Ayuk.
Marquise Brown or Brandon Ayuk?
Same thing, Ayuk.
And then finally here, most popular search, Brandon Cooks or Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I'm going to go Cooks on that one, but it's close. You know, I think both guys have top 20 potential, but with the way that Cooks has played, you know, basically since they fired Bill O'Brien, I don't know if that's just coincidence or, you know, the change in coach, but Brandon Cooks has been on fire, so I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If Deebo Samuel does come back in this game, Jamie, does that downgrade Ayuk significantly for you? Where would he probably land in your rankings?
It doesn't downgrade him significantly. It downgrades him, though. So I still probably would start him over Marquise Brown. DJ Moore would probably be in the same range. The thing I think that I'm hopeful for the 49ers, and I'm sure the Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk fantasy managers are hopeful for as well, the move away from George Kittle because of the injury, don't go back to just forcing the ball to Jordan Reed or Ross Dwelly. Use these two receivers. Use them to the potential that they have, you know, and you know, Kyle Shanahan's certainly creative enough to feature both guys, you know, because what we saw from them last year was Deebo Samuel's numbers popped when Kittle was dealing with some injuries. Ayuk's numbers this year have popped when Samuel and Kittle have been banged up. I'm hopeful that this offense can support two wide receivers, but I also think the volume's going to matter because they're probably not going to have the same success running the ball. So I still think that Ayuk and Samuel can coexist and be quality fantasy options.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to chime into that and say that last year, if you guys remember, I think it was week 13, the Saints and the 49ers played. So it was the same defensive scheme for the Saints. And the Saints defense was playing better at that time than they played this year. This year, last week was actually the first good game that they played as a team. But in that game, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's Jimmy Garoppolo, 349 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Now, granted, Kittle was active for that game, but Kittle finished that game with 6 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. So there was plenty of other production to happen. So it's not to say, like, when you look at the matchup in terms of Kyle Shanahan versus Dennis Allen, this defense, obviously Shanahan had the key to it. He knew exactly what he had to do to get the ball down the field, and Jimmy Garoppolo made it happen. So if Mullins can be competent, I love this call on Ayuk.
Let's go over to the tight end position here, guys. Let's look at a player outside the top 12 that we've got our eyes on. Tags, will go to you first, and then Jamie, I'll let you go second this time, and then I'll finish it up. Who is someone outside the top 12, Tags?
Why is Jimmy Graham continually disrespected in the rankings? I mean, even though he's had like the worst quarterback play in the league, the guy is getting targeted. He's currently the number 6 tight end through nine weeks of football. Now, granted, he's played an extra game. He hasn't had his bye week yet, but still, he has not seen fewer than 5 targets since back in week 2. Now he's going against the Vikings team, who have allowed a league high 10.5 yards per target to tight ends. On top of that, Graham, we know that he's using the red zone. Even stacking him up against wide receivers and tight ends, he actually ranks with the second most targets inside the 10-yard line this year, behind only Davante Adams, who's also missed a few games at his bye. It's kind of ridiculous, the numbers that Davante Adams has right now. But Graham, I have no idea why you'd want to fade him. Vikings opponents average, I think, 66 plays per game, or 68 plays per game, I'm sorry. The Bears pass the ball more than any other team in the NFL. So they're not going to be able to run the ball extremely well against Minnesota. The Bears just never run the ball. That's why they throw the ball as much as they do. I like Jimmy Graham. I this is not something I thought I would say coming into this football season, but looking at the state of tight ends, it's like, why is Jimmy Graham continually disrespected? He just keeps putting up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, looking at his fantasy finishes from week 6 through 9, so he was the tight end 20, tight end 22, tight end 33, and then the tight end 2 this past week, because he saw 6 targets, reeled in all 6 of them for 55 yards, and that score in that garbage time. In that time frame, 8 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets, 6 targets, he hasn't been extremely efficient, but yet at the same time, he is getting targets, and that's what's kind of important at the tight end position. So Tags, a lot of people are kind of in the same boat that you are, looking at the Who Should I Start tool. Really interesting searches here, so I want to see where you land. Jimmy Graham this week or Eric Ebron?
I have Ebron higher. Ebron's matchup against Cincinnati is actually very, very good.
Yep, I love Ebron this week. Jimmy Graham or Austin Hooper coming back off of his absence?
Jimmy Graham.
And then finally here, Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski?
I'll go Gronk there.
I feel like this is like a 2012 question. Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski. With Jimmy Graham, definitely has the target volume in an offense that is going to be throwing the ball a ton. And like you said, it is a matchup here that you can't exploit. I would have a hard time feeling confident plugging in Jimmy Graham. But so let's put a number on it. Where do you have him in your rankings?
I have him at 10.
At 10. Okay, so I have him at 14. So I'm a little bit further down in ECR, I think, is at 15 right now. So I'm a little bit higher on him, but yet at the same time, I think you're a little bit more bullish. Let's go over to Jamie. Who is a tight end outside the top 12 that you are eyeing here this week?
Yeah, I think you guys have to redo this exercise like after tight end 5, because it's almost, this list is ugly.
It's nasty. You
know? Yep.
And Tags took the free space of this group. I'm going to go Trey Burton,
yep.
Just with the hope of Jack Doyle being out with the concussion. I know he hasn't officially been ruled out yet, but that's the way it's trending. That opens up a couple of more targets in a matchup against the Titans that I think you can see Phillip Rivers and the tight ends try to exploit. Obviously, Mo Alie-Cox is going to be there as well and you know, take some red zone opportunities away from Burton. But you know they want to get him the ball. You saw it 2 weeks ago when they tried to do the Indy special where he ran one in. And then prior to their bye week, he had been doing some nice things. The Titans in their last, since week 6, they gave up a touchdown to Darren Fells. They gave up 11 PPR points to Eric Ebron. He had 6 for 50. And then last week, Jimmy Graham, you referenced it, had the 6 for 55 and a touchdown. So Burton has an opportunity here, I think, to be, you know, 5 to 8 target range. You know, he's not going to be north of that by any stretch. But, you know, no Jack Doyle was when he started to pick up his production when he came back from his calf injury. So if I have to take a shot on somebody, that's probably the tight end I would look for.
Yeah, let's put a number on that, though, because, again, it would feel very difficult for me to fully say, like, hey, let's plug in Trey Burton as a top 10 option, right? So let's just put it into context. Where are you at with Trey Burton as far as in your rankings?
Oh, like 15, 16. Yeah, he's not a top 10 option. You know, I think if you could find a top 10 option at tight end, you're in good shape.
right.
So, you know, the fact that Jimmy Graham in ECR is outside the top 10 is kind of amazing, given mm-hmm. what he's done this year. Like, you know, Tags was saying, he gets continually disrespected. So this list is it's hard to find somebody that you could say, I love this guy.
Right. Right. Yeah. I kind of had the same feelings here, guys. So I wasn't particularly high on Jimmy Graham, not particularly high on Trey Burton. Outside of that, really not looking at any of these guys. So I cheated here a little bit. Tags, I know you're going to yell at me. I went with Austin Hooper, who is currently 12 in ECR. I wanted to mention him because I'm significantly higher on him. I have him at 9 this week, and I think that he could even move up as we continue on throughout the week. Austin Hooper coming back was just continuing to see his target share increase week after week in this offense as he got used to the system and got more playing time. So with Austin Hooper, I think that you can plug him in confidently, assuming that he practices this week and he's looking fully, you know, fully healthy coming off of his appendectomy. But I think that Austin Hooper needs to be someone that we talk about here as someone who can confidently be plugged in as a low-end tight end 1 with upside in this matchup against Houston. So, Tags, do you agree there?
actually, I have Trey Burton and Austin Hooper right next to each other. Is like kind of they're competent streamers for me, guys that can be available on most waiver wires. But question though, like if you have him at nine, would you start him over someone like Mark Andrews this week?
I have Andrews at eight.
I don't like Mark Andrews has like one of the worst matchups like in the league, and I don't know how to feel about it because he's been terrible. But the matchups against New England have been terrible. So, but Jamie, at what point do you say? Because people are asking me about Mark Andrews a lot in my questions on Twitter. And I'm like, at what point do you say, well, what are your other options? I mean, what are we looking at? We're talking about Jimmy Graham, a guy that, you know, basically is usually around the 30 to 50 yard mark. You're hoping for a touchdown. So it's not like we're getting surefire production out of the guys that are around him, like guys like Jimmy Graham, guys like Trey Burton, Austin Hooper. How do you feel about Mark Andrews? Like, would you tell people just start him and just deal with it?
For the most part, you know, if you can carry two tight ends, I don't think it's a bad idea to pick up Austin Hooper where he's available or pick up Dallas Goedert, obviously, where he was available if he's still out there, just because in their offenses with the scenarios, Hooper now without Odell Beckham, you know, he hasn't played a game without Beckham on the field. So hopefully there's a spike in targets to whatever extent that is. And then Goedert, as we saw last year, as we saw at the beginning part of this year when he was healthy, you know what this offense is. There's no Zach Ertz. So those two guys can have a higher ceiling than Mark Andrews based on what we've seen from Mark Andrews. But there's always the, you know, fear of missing out with Mark Andrews because we know what he can be. You know, he could be a two touchdown guy. You know, he's never going to be a guy that's going to consistently demand double digit targets like we like to see for guys like Travis Kelce and Darren Waller and those type of tight ends. But he was so great last year at finding the end zone with Lamar Jackson, and the connection just hasn't been there this season. So I am curious to see our news guy at CBS Sports, Jason LaCafora, is a Baltimore guy. He does a radio show in Baltimore. He's very plugged into that team. And he was telling us on our show on Sunday that the addition of Dez Bryant is going to hopefully be sort of what Hayden Hurst was for this offense, in just a physical presence that can hopefully command some attention. And Hayden Hurst was never a big statistical guy, but as Jason said, and you guys I'm sure aware of this, he was someone you had to worry about because you knew what he was as an athlete. You knew what he was as a pass catcher. And the times they did catch the ball, he was successful with the Ravens. And the hope, I think, in the Baltimore offense is, because Nick Boyle's not that guy, is that they have another piece now that's different than Willie Snead, that's different than Miles Boykin. And so maybe things start to open up a little bit. And I think that's what the Ravens are kind of hoping for, is that they have just another pass catcher that teams have to worry about. And maybe there's some attention drawn away from Mark Andrews. And I know that sounds funny talking about Dez Bryant that way, but yeah, it does make some sort of sense when you think about it. So I hope there's still a lot to like about Mark Andrews moving forward, but I actually would play Hooper over him this week. I would play Goddard over him this week. I think you have to sort of just read the room and understand that Mark Andrews is just not having that same type of season, and Lamar Jackson's not having that same type of season.
Right.
They kind of go hand in hand.
Tags, the last three games for Mark Andrews in half PPR scoring, is finished as the tight end 30, the tight end 22, and the tight end 29. If he finishes in that same range this week here in week 10, what's the panic meter on Mark Andrews? Are we done?
Well, this matchup, nobody should expect anything, honestly. Like, if you look at the Patriots, they've played against Travis Kelce. They played against Darren Waller. They played against George Kittle. All those guys, no tight end has finished with more than 10.5 PPR points against them. It's been a brutal matchup. And honestly, what I would say is probably the worst matchup in the NFL for a tight end. So knowing Andrews, I mean, it's they played last year, the Patriots, and I know it's a different Patriots defense, but they shut him down. He had just two catches for 21 yards on three targets. So I don't like Andrews very much this week. And if you have another one of those options, like we talked about, Eric Ebron, someone like that, especially Dallas Goedert, I have all the way up at like number three this week. So it just goes to show you where we're at with tight ends. So but Mark Andrews has slid down the board into like low end tight end one territory.
All right, guys, let's move over to the quarterback position and a guy outside the top 12 that we are looking at to start. Tags, I'll go to you first.
Well, I would like to cheat because I think a lot of people would wonder about it. I think Jared Goff is a must play. If you're looking for a streamer that's available, I mean, I know he was available in the leagues that I play in. I understand a lot of guys hold on to Jared Goff for whatever reason, but he's available in a lot of leagues. He is my number 8 quarterback on the week. I would play him 100%. But outside that, there's really nobody in the top 12 that – I mean, outside the top 12 that I don't have ranked there. Ryan Tannehill is someone I'd feel confident starting. The Colts secondary has shown their true colors over the last few weeks. Teams can throw the ball on them. They're a lot more difficult to run the ball against. Derrick Henry is the only running back over the last 3 years, basically, under Matt Eberflus as the defensive coordinator there, He's the only running back who's ever rushed for 100 yards against them. So, yes, he has that going for him. This is a Thursday night game. Is he a little worn down at the short week? Does that affect him or the defense more? But what we do know is that Ryan Tannehill, even though Derrick Henry's been, you know, a stomping, he just stomps all over teams, you know, on the ground, Ryan Tannehill has been extremely efficient. So Ryan Tannehill giving you a solid floor as a streamer, I'd say he's someone outside the top 12 that I'd be 100% confident streaming Ryan Tannehill on Thursday night.
Well, I like that you brought up both of those guys because they're both coming off of shaky performances. It's been, you know, Los Angeles had their bye week last week, so it might not be fresh in our memory, but Jared Goff had 4 turnovers the last time that he was on the field. So I think that there are going to be questions here. The matchup says, yes, you freaking start Jared Goff. The easiest matchup in terms of fantasy points allowed for opposing quarterbacks and opposing wide receivers. Like, that is just absurd. And so I think that Jared Goff, yes, absolutely deserves to be in your starting lineup, but people are going to have questions because they say, how can I start someone who is coming off of a 4 turnover performance where he looked absolutely terrible? So I like the call there. And then Ryan Tannehill, same thing. Like, he met his match last week against the Bears defense. He succeeded. But yet when you look at his overall like completion percentage and everything, like, it wasn't fantastic. So people are going to look at those numbers and they're going to have questions about Tannehill as well. So I like you bringing up both of those guys. Jamie, who do you have here at the quarterback position that you're saying that people should start?
I like Drew Lock. I mean, I like what he's done the last 2 weeks. I know it's been, you know, garbage time production, but, you know, 3 straight games with over 40 pass attempts. You know, he's facing a matchup here this week against, you know, a Raiders team that has been bad against opposing quarterbacks of late. Well, good, you know, from the quarterbacks playing against them, but bad in terms of their defense. And so, you know, you throw out the game against the Browns where Baker Mayfield's playing in the wind, and it's basically 288-2 for every quarterback that's faced them in the previous 5 games. And I think you're going to get an opportunity for Drew Lock. You know, they can't run the ball right now very well. You guys have talked about this with Lindsay and Melvin Gordon and just sort of how they're cannibalizing themselves a little bit. They find themselves chasing points, which we like from quarterbacks because their defense has been struggling. And Carr, I think, is going to play well. He's done a nice job playing at home this season. So, you know, Drew Lock is somebody that you got to close your eyes for the first 3 quarters and say, okay, this is not good. But we've seen this time and time again with many quarterbacks throughout the course of history that, you know, the receivers around them are great. The talent around them is great. And they just, you know, sometimes take a little bit of time to click. And I think this happened with Drew Lock on the season. And I think it's happening in games as well.
I'm glad that you brought up Drew Lock because I went to that Who Should I Start tool, looked at the most popular searches. People have a lot of questions about Drew Lock. This is like, normally I see only like 4 or 5 searches. No, there are 17 results here for Drew Lock in comparisons here. So I'll throw just a few your way here, Jamie. Drew Lock or Cam Newton this week?
Oh, that's easy. Drew Lock.
Baker Mayfield against Houston or Drew Lock?
It's a tough one just because, you know, the matchup's so good for Baker, but I still think they're going to run the ball a lot, so I'll go Drew Lock.
This is a legitimate search. Josh Allen or Drew Lock?
No.
Yeah, please don't do that. Josh Allen.
No. Tom Brady or Drew Lock?
Tom Brady. He'll bounce back this week and has a higher ceiling than Drew Lock.
Yeah, Tags, what do you think about that one, Tom Brady or Drew Lock?
Oh, it'd be Brady for me for sure.
Okay. And then the last one here, Jamie, that I'll ask you, Drew Lock or Joe Burrow?
I'm going to go Drew Lock. You know, again, matchup. So he gets the Raiders. Burrow gets the Steelers. I think that's an easy one there.
Well, I mentioned that last one because the guy who I'm going to say that you should start this week is Joe Burrow. He's QB 17 in ECR. I have him all the way up at QB 10 this week. And now I'm not going to deny that the matchup is pretty difficult here. From a fantasy points allowed perspective, the Steelers are one of the most difficult opponents for opposing quarterbacks, but yet they're actually one of the easier ones for opposing wide receivers. So with Joe Burrow, the way that he has looked in tough matchups recently, I think that he has earned my trust here to plug him in despite the matchup. So I have, again, like I said, I have him at QB 10, so I'm not, and that might come down by the time that we get later on in the week. He'll probably end up around like QB 12, QB 13. I probably would play Jared Goff over Joe Burrow. But yet at the same time, outside of that Baltimore game where this offense just absolutely imploded, Joe Burrow has been in some tough matchups and he's performed well. So I think that he can lean on Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, T. Higgins, his allotment of receivers here, and absolutely lean into that and put up decent enough numbers. So I think that if you're sitting there with Joe Burrow and you're debating between 2 options, like picking up someone like a Kirk Cousins this week, or maybe even a Ryan Tannehill, I would be saying, hey, play Joe Burrow, because I think that you should just stick with Burrow and what we've seen. So Tags, again, it's a very tough matchup. Does that kind of push Burrow down your board there a little bit?
Yeah, the Steelers have not allowed a top 12 quarterback performance all year. And in fact, you'd actually have to go back to week 11 of last year to find the last time a quarterback finished top 12 against them. So I don't think the floor is bad for Burrow because he's going to drop back and pass a lot. But we know one thing for certain, and it's that the Steelers blitz the crap out of him. And Burrow doesn't have a great offensive line, so he's gonna take a few hits in that game. I have him at QB 17, so I don't hate him. It's just more of like there's other guys you can play over him.
Okay. All right, let's flip over to some of our sits of the week tags here. I'll go with the running back position inside the top 20. Who is someone that you're saying you should sit?
Well, we've talked about Jared Goff and the fact that I like him so much, so I'm going to go down and I'm going to say that Daryl Henderson is not someone that I want to play. You know, that team does have somewhat of a timeshare. Cam Akers got in there the last time they played, and he actually looked good. Cam Akers has looked good when he's been on the field, being pretty elusive. His vision is very questionable, but against the Seahawks, it really shouldn't matter. They're a team that has, like, they've only allowed the 15th fewest fantasy points to running backs, and that's despite them allowing 30.4 points per game to their opponents. That's third in the NFL. They're allowing tons and tons of production, but teams basically are just not running the ball against them. It's a league low 34.6% of the plays against them. They're allowing just 3.6 yards per carry. Daryl Henderson is not heavily involved in the passing game. Basically, if he doesn't fall into the end zone, he's going to disappoint and finish like outside the top 25 running backs. So I am worried about that matchup for him, especially considering this could be a three-headed timeshare coming out of that bye week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the philosophy play out here. You know, you look at the offensive philosophy with Los Angeles is pretty run heavy. They like to lean on their run game. But then now the Seahawks can't actually stop the run, and you can exploit them, you know, through their secondary, through the passing game. So it's going to be interesting to see what Sean McVay does here. So Daryl Henderson absolutely could be someone that, you know, they choose to lean on the run game and he goes off, or he has a wide range of outcomes here. So I don't hate the call. Let's go to you, Jamie. Who is a running back outside the top, or inside the top 20, excuse me, that you're looking to sit?
Melvin Gordon is the one that stands out to me. I like the Daryl Henderson call as well. I think he's been a little overinflated based on, you know, I think expectation versus reality. Melvin Gordon is, you know, we talked about this a little bit, you know, tags brought up Philip Lindsay. The playing time has been relatively close. You know, you've seen Lindsay do a better job running the ball. It's a very small sample size of them playing together for four quarters, because Lindsay has left several games that they've been together. So it's a little bit different when you look at what Melvin Gordon's numbers have been when they're on the field completely. But for four quarters, the last 2 weeks, Melvin Gordon has not played well. And, you know, the receptions have sort of boosted him 2 games ago. But last week, you know, they got away from throwing him the ball. He's still running routes and being used as their pass catching guy, but not necessarily getting the same level of production. And I think what is going to have to save him is touchdowns. And the Raiders, they've given up a lot of touchdowns to running backs. They don't give up a lot of rushing yards to running backs, which is a little surprising given what their team looks like and how the sort of, and I mean, individual running backs. There's been some games where their teams have run on them collectively. But I do think that Lindsay is the better runner of the two right now. And so if Gordon's playing time is down, if he doesn't find the end zone, you could be frustrated with Melvin Gordon right now. And you brought up a good point. You know, it could be that the looming court case, which has been pushed back, but could be something that the Broncos are looking at and saying, we have to lean toward Philip Lindsay because we're going to need Philip Lindsay. And the reality is Philip Lindsay's just been the better runner between the two of them when they're on the field together.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon's my guy too, was the one that I was going to mention. He's sitting at 19 in ECR right now. So he's someone that I still think that you can roll out as a running back three this week, a high-end running back three, because of the, you know, scoring upside in this one. But yet at the same time, to rank him as 19 over some of these other guys, I just don't feel confident. Based on what we've seen in the past few weeks, how can we feel confident plugging in Melvin Gordon? So he can absolutely make up for it with the touchdown here, but that's not something that I really want to bet on. So yeah, I like the call there, Jamie. Obviously, that was my guy that I was going to mention too. Let's go over to the wide receiver position tags inside the top 30 in ECR. Who is someone that you're sitting?
I mean, I see Justin Jefferson at 20 and I don't understand it. You know, he's seen five or fewer targets in four of his last five games. The Vikings are passing the ball just 26 times per game. That's obviously not great. They're averaging very minimal plays. The Bears don't allow very many plays to their opponent. And even when they do pass, they're allowing just a 57% catch rate to wide receivers. No other team is below 61% on the year. I mean, there have been five wide receivers who have totaled more than 58 yards against the Bears. That's it. None of this adds up to say Jefferson should be considered a top 20 play. I mean, if he finishes top 20, I would say that's a really, really, really good game for him against the Bears, because receivers just haven't done it. A lot of the guys that have done it, they're creating yards after the catch, like AJ Brown last week, right? The ball gets into his hands, the guy breaks a tackle, and then he hits the wide open field, and he's great in the open field. Justin Jefferson can do that. He can hit that big play, but he's just not getting enough targets to hit that big play. And he's only playing in the slot about 33% of the time, which is the spot that you need to attack the Bears, because Buster Screen has turned back into the cornerback that he was in the Jets, and he's allowing tons of production in the slot. But again, Jefferson's only playing there about 33% of the time. They've moved Chad Beebe into that role. So I just don't understand why he's up at wide receiver 20 this week.
Let's look at that. Who should I start tool tags? I'll throw you a few names here. Jerry Jeudy or Justin Jefferson this
Jeudy,
week?
Jeudy, easy.
DJ Chark or Justin Jefferson?
Chark.
Deontay Johnson or Justin Jefferson?
I have them flip-flopped. Like, in terms of, like, I have Deontay Johnson at 20 and I have Justin Jefferson at 30, and their ECR is almost opposite.
Yeah, I don't understand why Deontay Johnson's ECR is all the way down there. Last one here, Tyler Boyd or Justin Jefferson?
Oh, that's Tyler Boyd, easy.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the matchup here, not great for Justin Jefferson. Like you mentioned, I like that you gave that qualification that he can absolutely finish within the top 20, but he has to do it on the back of a big play, breaking away attack, whatever. And from a fantasy manager perspective, those are the things that are very unpredictable and that we can't bet on, right? So I think you can plug in Justin Jefferson, but like you said, you have him at 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as a wide receiver 3, right? Not as someone who you can guarantee a top, you know, top 20 finish. So let's go to Jamie here. Who do you have as a wide receiver within the top 30 of ECR that you want to sit if you can?
I'm nervous about DJ Moore. I mean, you know, this has been a tough stretch for him. You know, targets have been down. You're seeing Curtis Samuel emerge, and now you're facing a pissed off Tampa Bay defense that has a good secondary and a good pass rush that's going to make things uncomfortable for Teddy Bridgewater. It's so frustrating because DJ Moore's so good. I just don't understand why they don't throw him the ball more. I don't know if you know, the Temple connection between Robbie Anderson and Matt Rhule is that strong, and Bridgewater maybe just doesn't like DJ Moore, or I don't get it, because he's good, and he had a great game against Tampa Bay in week 2. But you know, after they got embarrassed last week, and what this, you know, setup is for how Moore has played, how much they go away from him, I just don't think he's a slam dunk start by any stretch this week.
Isn't Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore like in the same territory, except DJ Moore has shown that he can contribute when he gets the targets like nonstop, where I have DJ Moore at 26, so I'm not high on him, but Jefferson at 30, but ECR has Jefferson 6 spots higher when DJ Moore, even though he's been lacking in the targets, he's still seeing more targets than Jefferson. And the matchup, I would say, is better against Tampa Bay's secondary than it is against the Bears. Am I wrong in that?
No, I'm with you. I think Justin Jefferson, you know, it's again, it goes to what the philosophy is for the Vikings and just how they're operating. If you were to say that the Vikings were going to turn into a team that was going to give, you know, 6+ targets to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. they'd be top 10 guys.
100%.
You know, I don't care who they're playing.
Yes.
But it's just, you know, they walk into their meetings and the game plan is they script their plays, you know, every team does, and they look at the game script and it's run left, run right, run left, run right, throw maybe, run left, run left, run right, maybe throw. I mean, that's
throw it,
that's
question
kinda,
mark.
That's kind of what they do. Right.
Yeah, well, I promise that I am not reading off of Jamie's list here, because DJ Moore was the guy that I was going to talk about. At wide receiver 25 in ECR, I was pretty low on him last week. It worked out. I'm low on him again this week. I have him at 38, and I think I have Curtis Samuel above DJ Moore this week because I'm leaning into the target share. We have to go with the targets from a fantasy football perspective and looking at who has the best opportunity in their respective offenses. And in this offense, it's Robbie Anderson. It's Curtis Samuel, and then a distant third is DJ Moore. Now, we can look at maybe Christian McCaffrey not being in this game. Maybe that creates a little bit more opportunity here for DJ Moore, but let's not pretend that Moore was getting 7, 8, 9 targets even when Christian McCaffrey was out of the lineup. The one game that DJ Moore saw 11 targets was because Curtis Samuel was out of the lineup. So with DJ Moore, you're betting on him breaking away a big play. It's kind of the same, like you said, Tags, with Justin Jefferson. You're betting on him breaking away a big play, getting behind the defense. I just don't see that happening. It's not something that I'm comfortable betting on. So for him to be all the way up at 25, that's something that I am very concerned about, and I am very, very low on DJ Moore comparative to ECR. Jamie, let's look at the Who Should I Start tool, though, and some interesting questions here. Devontae Parker or DJ Moore this week?
Devontae Parker.
Tags, what about you?
I have Moore a little bit higher. Parker's matchup against Casey Hayward is pretty tough.
Does Preston Williams landing on IR change that at all for you?
I think that just guarantees he's going to see Hayward in coverage now. He wouldn't have already, but yeah, I mean, the volume will be there. So I'm going to think about Parker. I have him at 28 right now. I could definitely see moving him up just because his target share should be up there. But it is a tough matchup.
This is a search Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore this week, Jamie.
I'm going to go Robbie Anderson. I just think, you know, you've kind of seen the tea leaves, you know, for what the Panthers are. It's Robbie Anderson is doing everything we thought DJ Moore would do this year.
Yep.
Yep.
I've got two more for you, Jamie. Chris Godwin or DJ Moore this week.
Yeah, I hope Godwin had the shake the rust off game. I hope it's, you know, he's all systems go. And again, I think reading the room, pissed off Bucks, and the Panthers are going to feel their wrath.
Yeah. Tags, what about you there?
Yeah, I would also. I'm with Godwin there, too.
DJ Moore or Christian Kirk as the last one here, Jamie?
Ride the hot hand. I mean, Christian Kirk's been fantastic, and I think that's going to be one of the more fun games that we see this week, maybe in the season with Buffalo and Arizona.
Tags there, DJ Moore or Christian Kirk?
I have Moore higher, but I could see Kirk doing it. You're going to have Tre'Davious White shadowing DeAndre Hopkins. White hasn't been as good this year as his contract is, but Christian Kirk, I mean, last week that was like the tipping point for me. I didn't expect a whole lot against Miami from him, but knowing that Xavien Howard shadowed, it didn't leave Kirk with a good matchup. It was still Byron Jones, who was their, you know, prized free agent guy, and he destroyed him. So, I mean, Christian Kirk is quickly moving up my board, and honestly, I would be contemplating starting Christian Kirk over someone like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair conversation. Let's go over to the tight end position here, guys. Let's look at a sit. Let's just fly through this one. Tags, who is a tight end that you're looking to sit this week?
I mean, we talked about Mark Andrews quite a bit. I'm not a big fan of Hunter Henry this week.
Yep.
Hunter Henry, for whatever reason, ever since Herbert's come under center, he has not produced. Like, he's not, he ranks 10th in targets in that time, but for whatever reason, he's not producing. He ranks 21st in fantasy scoring behind guys like Irv Smith and Anthony Firkser. That's where we're at. And now you, the only tight end in the NFL who's allowed, who have yet to allow a tight end to finish with double digit PPR points are the Dolphins.
Yeah. Hunter Henry was the guy I was going to bring up. I'll just mention that super quick because he's bringing a safe floor. He's seeing targets, but he brings no upside whatsoever in this offense. He has to find the end zone in order for him to finish within the top 12, and he's not doing that. He's not finding the end zone. It's all going to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So Hunter Henry, man, he's tight end 7 in ECR. I have him down at tight end 15 this week. I'm just not feeling confident in starting Hunter Henry. Jamie, what about you? Is there a guy within the top 12 that you're looking to sit?
Well, I know you guys have cheated a little bit, so I'm going to cheat also since you brought it up. I'm just going to sit Hayden Hurst. I think it's going to be a bad week for him. Stay away.
I would recommend sitting Hayden Hurst as well. I can foresee a zero in his future.
Is it possible that Travis Kelce can outscore Mark Andrews on his bye week?
He probably could.
Probably.
I'm sorry, you say top 10 or top 12?
Top 12.
Yeah, I guess I'll just go Robert Tonyan, who's at 12. We haven't seen him play at the same level with Devontae Adams on the field. Mm-hmm. He had the one good game, I think it was against Minnesota, where his numbers were up a little bit. But you know, now you have the story potentially of Alan Lazard coming back. And so just another mouth to feed. It's Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams as much as they could possibly handle. And occasionally you'll get a, hey, look, there's Marcos Valdes-Scantling. He's open. Rodgers throws the ball, closes his eyes, see if he catches it. And then he goes either to somebody else or most likely back to Devontae Adams. Robert Tonyan is had a nice stretch early in the season when Adams wasn't there. But with Adams there, it's just too hard to trust.
Yeah, great matchup, which I think kind of boosts him up just a little bit. But yeah, he is just a dart throw for me. I have him a little bit lower than ECR. Let's go over to the quarterback position. Tags, we'll go to you first. Again, let's just breeze through this one. Who is someone inside the top 12 that you're looking to sit if you can?
Ben Roethlisberger, I suppose. It feels like a lot like last week in terms of the matchup against the Cowboys, where there's a lot of different avenues to where they can score fantasy points. But knowing Roethlisberger hurt both of his knees in that game, and now they're going up against the Bengals, a team they probably shouldn't have to throw the ball a whole lot against. I'm guessing James Conner bounces back in a big way, and Roethlisberger delivers a fine performance. He's like a middling to high-end quarterback too, but I don't think that he's like a lock that you have to play. I would rather play Jared Goff.
That would be very, very difficult for me to sit Big Ben looking at this matchup, but I can see your points there. The injury definitely would cause some hesitation there for me. Let's go to you, Jamie. Who is a quarterback that you're looking to sit?
I am going to cheat here and go to the guy at 13 in Tannehill. I'm concerned with what I've seen the last three games from him without Taylor Lewan. And he's been sacked 6 times in those 3 games. And the numbers haven't been there for him. We usually go 6 points for passing touchdowns. So he's under 20 fantasy points, which, as we know, is the easy benchmark to be a starting fantasy quarterback. And this year, it's usually like 22 or 23 points. So his numbers have been down the last 3 weeks. I don't know if it's just coinciding with not having Luan there, because one of those games was against Pittsburgh. One of the games was the, you know, bad weather game against Cincinnati and then the Bears. So three tough matchups. But now he's facing a really tough defensive front. You mentioned it earlier, the secondary not the same for the Colts by comparison to some of those other teams. And so hopefully he does have some time to make some plays. He's usually better at home than on the road. And obviously short week tends to favor the offense as opposed to the defense. But I just don't like what I've seen from Tannehill the last three games. Again, the offensive line plays been a little bit down. I think Roger Saffold's also battling an injury coming into this week as well. So that could be a problem. So Tannehill's the guy that I would try to avoid of the guys that are on the cusp, because I think all the guys based on the ECR in the top 12 are pretty good. Roethlisberger being the questionable one also, but it's a good week for quarterbacks. You know, the fact that you can get away from a guy like Roethlisberger or Tannehill or some of these other guys is telling you where the position's at.
Let's go to the sleeper section here, Tags. We'll see if Jamie rejoins us. Let's go to the sleepers here. Looking outside the top 36 at the running back position. So, yeah, we just lost Jamie. So Tags, for me, I mentioned it earlier. I'll just breeze through it. Like, Savon Ahmed is the guy that I wanted to mention here that, again, I don't think that he comes with an extremely safe floor. You know, there's a wide range of outcomes here with Savon Ahmed, but I'm a big believer in the talent, even though he's an undrafted free agent. I'm a big believer in the talent. I think that you can get away with plugging Savon Ahmed into your starting lineup. Who's someone that you wanted to mention here as a sleeper?
Jamal Williams. He's been dropped in a lot of leagues. And if you're in one of those leagues, grab him like right now. Not only is he going to be a guy that can offer some flex value here and there, but he's someone that obviously offers league winning upside if he ever gets into the starting lineup again. The Jaguars have allowed at least 27 points to each of their last seven opponents, including four games where they've allowed 33 or more points. The Packers team implied total is 33.5. The Jaguars have faced 30 touches per game to running back. So even if Aaron Jones gets 18, you know, and then they want to like take the load off of him, go to Jamal Williams, who's looked fantastic. It could be very much like last year. Remember, Jamal Williams was someone we were able to play as like an RB3 flex most of the time, and almost like a JD McKissick type role. This matchup is just so fantastic that I'm expecting 10 to 12 touches for Williams, and I do believe he can be an RB3.
Yeah, I'm curious with his ECR if it's down further because if the concerns with him on the COVID list or whatever, but I fully expect his ECR to rise as we get closer to game time. I think that he is absolutely someone that you can start as a sleeper option, but potentially even as a high-end RB3. Let's go to the wide receiver position outside the top 50. The guy I'll mention is KJ Hamler. Saw 10 targets last week. Again, this was against Atlanta, and we saw Denver just, you know, playing in comeback mode there, but KJ Hamler, I was a big believer in his talent too, coming out of Penn State, had him very high in my wide receiver rankings pre-draft. So this is just buying into the talent here and believing that he can make things happen after the catch. So he's not someone that you really have to target super deep downfield. He can make up for it with rack. So again, this is someone that he's at 56 in ECR right now. I don't have him crazy high, but yeah, I do think that you can get away with starting him as a low-end flex play. What do you think there about KJ Hamler before we get to your guy?
Hamler, I like the player, I do, and I really did, and I love the fact that they've moved Judy on the outside, and they're putting Hamler in the slot, but at the same time, the toughest matchup against the Raiders is in the slot against LaMarcus Joyner. He's actually been really, really good since they moved him down from safety to cornerback, so it's the worst matchup, so I'm not a huge on Hamler this week, but he is someone that's like slowly climbing up into your confidence rating, because again, Locke is throwing the ball more, they've lined the wide receivers probably the way they should have all along, and they're healthy, so yeah.
Yeah, who's your guy here at the wide receiver position for a sleeper?
All right. Well, it's a guy that I ragged on. I legitimately like, and the only thing that I'm concerned about with this guy is the fact that he could be benched. If I were the coach, he would have been benched. But Josh Reynolds, not many people realize he's seen 22 targets over the last three games. That's enough to put him on the fantasy radar, especially when you go up against a Seahawks team that there have been 19 wide receivers. 19, dude, we've played 9 weeks. They've only played 8 games. 19 wide receivers have finished as the wide receiver 35 or better against Seattle. It's kind of a joke at this point. They can't stop anybody, especially on the perimeter. Quentin Dunbar has not lived up to the price they paid for him. Shaquille Griffin missed the last couple weeks. I don't think he's going to play this week. I don't know. But either way, I mean, if you're looking for a Hail Mary play that is available in most leagues, Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, as expecting him to finish within the top 36, I think is a little bit unrealistic, but I don't think that that's what you have to expect. He's in this sleeper section for a reason, right? You can throw him in as a flex play and the matchup could lead to him being someone that finishes at, you know, he could easily find the end zone in this one. And that's what you want with your flex option there to give you that boost. So Let's go here to the start and sit of the week. Again, this is just real quick, our planting the flag on these guys. For me, the start is J.D. McKissic. I mentioned him earlier, but this is just a guy who I want to get in my starting lineups if I can. Again, I think that he's going to come with safe volume. And again, that's what I want at the running back position right now. Who for you is a start this week?
For me, it's Jared Goff.
Any context there?
No? I am good? Playing Jared Goff. That's basically what it comes down to. I have a QB8, so obviously there's only the guys that are in front of him are guys that you start every week. You know, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. Those are the only ones that I would start over Jared Goff this week.
Yeah, I think that you talked about it earlier, that I said, you know, like, people are going to have questions about Jared Goff. So for you to put your stamp on that, on Jared Goff this week against Seattle, I think is a boost of confidence. People should get him into their starting lineup. Let's go to the sit of the week. For me, it's just DJ Moore. I talked about him. I have him significantly lower than ECR. Based on what we've seen the past couple of weeks, we can't rely on DJ Moore. So I'm going to be sitting him where I've got him. How about you?
I mean, I could say Justin Jefferson, but I'll say someone else that we haven't talked about, and I'm really curious to hear your take on it. Darius Slayton, why is he ranked? Why is he ranked up there? I mean, he's right now, I think, wide receiver 32 in the consensus. I have him at 43. We know that when Shepard came back, his targets were going to be at volatile, and now you go up against an Eagles team that has allowed just 143 yards per game to wide receivers. That's not a whole lot. There have been just four wide receivers all year who have finished as the wide receiver 33 or better against them. And each of those wide receivers saw at least eight targets. I mean, when they played just a couple weeks ago, Slayton finished that game with two catches for 23 yards. I don't get it.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what I was just about to mention. Three targets, two receptions, 23 yards. You can't trust this offense in general, but then to trust Darius Slayton the way that he's looked the past couple weeks, especially now that we have that sample size to be able to go back on and say, no, he faced off against Darius Slay just recently, and it didn't work out. So to rank him where he is right now, I'm in the same range as you. I got him as a mid-range flex play. That's not someone who I'm sitting there going like, yeah, we need to start him. Let's go to the Thursday night football preview here, Tags. We've got the Colts and the Titans playing. Let's talk about the Colts here. What do we do with this running back situation, man? How should fantasy managers be looking at these three options going into this matchup here against the Titans?
I mean, I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. It doesn't make you feel great to do, but against the Titans, it's not a team that I would expect to blow out the Colts, because the Colts do have a competent defense. It should be a relatively close game. Opponents have averaged 22 carries per game against the Titans. That's not great for a three-way timeshare, but again, if they start the game out like they did last week and they try and instill some more confidence in Jonathan Taylor and give him one more shot, because if he fumbles again, I'm pretty sure it's going to mean he's benched. I mean, that might be more than a week thing. I think it was more like a slap on the hand last week. I think they do try and get him back into the starting lineup because, you know, when you spend a high second-round pick on a running back, he's part of your plans and you need him. You can't just take away his confidence. So I think they try and get him back this week. So he's the one that I would go with. I have him as like a high-end RB3 this week, who has the best shot to find the end zone, while Wilkins should be considered more of like a flex play with a non-0% chance that he's the starter, that they continue this. But I am expecting Jonathan Taylor to be the lead back for them this week. And Nyheim Hines, I don't like at all. Like, he's this matchup does not suit his skill set at all.
Yeah, I'm in that same range with all of them. I've got Hines as a flex play only in full PPR formats, you know, on the basis that he gets five targets, and, you know, that's really kind of his ceiling. You need him to be able to break away a play, to be able to find the end zone to finish much higher than that. So completely agree. I've got Jonathan Taylor as a high-end RB3 this week. Not necessarily sitting here going, yeah, I feel super confident to plug in Jonathan Taylor, but in this matchup, he should be the guy that they turn to. But again, that's just a question mark, and that's why we have him a little bit further down. We got news while we were recording that T.Y. Hilton is off the injury report and is going to suit up in this game. Are you looking at any Colts wide receivers in this matchup?
I mean, I was trying to figure out what to do with Pittman and Marcus Johnson, because those guys are both playing a lot of snaps. And now that Hilton's back, it's like, now what do they do? Because Pascal, Pittman, like, who's playing the slot? There's just so much going on here that it's really difficult to feel strongly about any of them. The bad news is that, or the good news, bad news, depending on how you want to look at it, is that the Titans have been like smashed by wide receivers. It's one of the best matchups in the NFL for wide receivers. The Titans did activate Adoree Jackson, but he's not going to play in this game. So it continues to be a good matchup. So you kind of want to try and find a wide receiver here to start, but it's really difficult to feel strongly. I had Pittman as the highest ranked wide receiver because I thought he had the best shot at a touchdown based on the alignment. But now that Hilton's good to go, I mean, he might be the guy to start. I have to reevaluate this game.
Yeah, yeah, and again, this came out while we were recording. We did not think that T.Y. Hilton was going to play in this game. So I'll still go with Pittman as the guy that I want out of this receiving room that I want to play, but yet as a flex play at best. He's not someone who I'm super excited about. The matchup plays a huge role in that, though. Tags, we talked about it. You're forced to play one of the Colts tight ends. Which one is it? Is it Burton?
It's Burton for sure, yeah, because Jack Doyle's not going to play. I actually don't feel so bad starting Burton this week. He has been getting targets, opportunities, whether it be carries. He's being used like Eric Ebron in this offense. It's not a bad matchup against Tennessee. They've allowed at least 9 PPR points to 6 of 8 tight ends that they've played. They've allowed a 75.5% completion rate. So it's not a bad matchup for Burton, especially like I said, when Doyle's out, you're basically taking away a guy that played every snap. He wasn't targeted a whole lot, but it does free up a whole lot in terms of like what they're like the target share because again, I know I'm getting caught up in my words, but T.Y. Hilton has changed my entire projection for this game because I figured with T.Y. Hilton out, the tight ends would be the focal point. It was like, all right, I'm trying to work this out. And Burton is treated somewhat like a wide receiver rather than a standard inline tight end. So I would say,
Tex, just go with your projection, what you had before, because T.Y. Hilton, what has he done this year that has like would cause us to alter our thoughts for the passing offense here, right? Like, what has he done that would say like, oh, well, this shifts everything, right? So I think just go with what you had before, because T.Y. Hilton's not going to change much as far as the target.
He's gotten targets, though. I mean, that's the thing. He's gotten targets. He just hasn't produced with them.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah. So, but I'd still say Burton is the one I would prefer.
Okay, let's go to the Titans. We talked about Ryan Tannehill, that you're starting him. I'm a little bit more hesitant. He's in the streaming conversation. You can plug him in. Again, it's one of those situations for me that if you've got Ryan Tannehill, you're only rostering one quarterback, don't drop, you know, Ryan Tannehill to go pick up another option. Just play Tannehill there. But if you do have another option that we talked about, I would be playing them over. Ryan Tannehill, you talked about Derrick Henry. Very tough matchup here against the Indianapolis Colts run defense. He has succeeded against them previously, though. Is he a top five option for you this week?
He has to be. I mean, yeah. It's weird because like his snaps have come down a little bit. They're taking him off the field more. But I think it does help that both teams haven't had a whole lot of time to prepare. And it's like, you know, going into this game, Derrick Henry, the last time he did play the Colts, he did rush for over, I think, 130 yards or something like that. So if there's one team that has the answer, I guess it's them. But we are a little worried. That whole Taylor Lewan thing that Jamie brought up earlier, it's a real thing because Taylor Lewan losing him at left tackle, I think it hurts the run game. I think it hurts the passing game. But the matchups have been a little tough, so it's really tough to gauge just how much that loss has meant.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we talk about Derrick Henry coming off the field. He's still getting 20 plus carries every single week. So, you know, he's still a top five solid option for me this week as well. AJ Brown has been just absolutely unstoppable this season. Mm-hmm. Is he now at the point where we're saying he's matchup proof and we can just plug him into our lineup without hesitation?
Yep, you'll deal with he'll have it down here and there, but yeah, you play him every week.
Yeah, I think that people aren't going to have many questions about AJ Brown. The receiver that people are going to have questions about is Corey Davis. What the heck do we do with Corey Davis coming off of that tough matchup last week?
I don't think he's a terrible play this week. The Colts, they're a good defense. Yeah, and we talked about the fact that the run defense is pretty good. Like, very good, I should say. There have been 13 wide receivers who have finished as wide receiver 3 or better against them. So I don't think it's a matchup that you need to absolutely avoid Corey Davis. I have him in like high end wide receiver 4 territory. So he's kind of like teetering on that starting conversation where I'd be torn if I had to choose between him and someone like Marquise Brown, Marvin Jones. That's basically the territory that I have Corey Davis in right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think people should just completely move off of him based on what he had done previously before that matchup. Of course, he gave you a 0 last week if you did play him, but I think that we shouldn't move completely off of him, but we just downgrade him a little bit, and I still think that he can bring a safe floor. Jonnu Smith, he scored the touchdown last week, and he actually saw his snap share increase quite a bit. I wonder if that was due to that injury to Michael Pruitt, who got rolled up there, but still ran only 18 total routes. So in a tough matchup, are we looking his way at all?
I mean, he's more of like that borderline. He's like a low end tight end 1, high end tight end 2. He's right next to Trey Burton in my rankings where it's like, if you told me you wanted to start Burton over him, I'd have no issue with it. You know, the Colts have been a brutal matchup for tight ends. They've allowed just 5.18 yards per target. They are the only team in the NFL that has yet to allow a touchdown to a tight end. So again, if you wanted to bench Smith, you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same range. I've got him pretty close to Hunter Henry. That would be a very difficult decision for me to make if I had Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. I really just don't know who I would be going with. Probably give the slight edge there to Hunter Henry just because I know that he's going to get targets, but man, just has not produced with him. Yep. So anything else that I missed from this game, Tags?
I don't think so, man.
All right. Awesome. Well, that is going to do it for today's show. I'll say thank you to Jamie for coming on, although he is no longer here, and he can be found on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. Again, want to just say thank you so much for him coming on and giving us his sage advice. Before we end today's podcast, I want to make sure that we thank Pristine Auction again for sponsoring today's podcast. If you're looking for authentic sports memorabilia at unbelievably affordable prices, head over to pristineauction.com. Register for a free account and make sure to enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Tags will be breaking down the DFS plays for this upcoming week, and then Dan and I will be back on Friday breaking down every matchup from a fantasy perspective. For Mike Taglier and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.